So today, we're going to be speaking about a bunch of names in the Bible. You know, genealogy. It's become a thing in this day and age that people now want to research and they go and they send their blood in so they can get it back and say what family members they may have, and there's this big database now. And people do that because they want to research the past. Some people do it because they go, I'm sure there's somebody worse than me in my family, I've got to find them. Or they want to find some famous people that they had in their family that they can brag about because they've got nothing to brag about, so they've got to find somebody else in their family that they can say, hey, this person belonged to my family, and I'm not one of them because I couldn't even tell you what my great-grandpa's parents' names were, so I'm not very good with genealogy. The only time genealogy affects me is when I go to the doctors and they said, are any of these diseases in your family? And I'm like, yes, 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 and that's why I'm so messed up. So genealogy today is more of a hobby or something just for fun, and it can be a very expensive hobby, by the way. I know people that did this that have traveled around the world. Because they live in America and they found out they've got some family members in Scotland, and they fly to Scotland to go to try and find more information about this family and go to their gravestones and do all that stuff, and it can be a pretty expensive hobby, but genealogy was super important to the Jewish culture. For many reasons, because your heritage said your land rights belong to you. They could trace back at the time Jesus was born. They could trace at least all the way back to the 12 tribes. This was public record that you could go look at and research. Not only that, a lot of families, because it was so important to families, they even kept their own record in their home. Because they wanted to know their ancestry. They wanted to know where they came from. And it was really, really important because they were waiting and longing for a Savior. And that Savior had to come from the line of David. Because that was the promise. That was the promise. So it was really important for them to save this history. Now, I don't know if anybody looked at this when I told you last week, and we'll get to that later, that Matthew's list of people is not the same as Luke's list of people. So right there, we have a problem. Or do we? You see, I'll explain that we don't have a problem. The Bible is true. And it will always be true. Even where there's going to be some problems with there's some names that are in both of their list, okay? There's explanations for that. Why it could be. But more important, there's a reason that Luke puts this in his scripture. You see, here's what has Luke been trying to do for the last three chapters? He's been proving the deity of Christ. That's what he's done for up until now. He has been proving the deity of Christ, that Christ was and is God. That's what he's been doing. So he's proved that Jesus is God, okay? But Jesus has to be what? Fully human too. So this is what this text is going to be put there. It kind of bookends, by the way. It's in the middle of two bookends. The deity of Christ, okay? Then he's going to talk about the humanity of Christ. And then he's going to send him off into the wilderness to beat, because at that time, by the way, is he conquered the devil then. Not all the way down when he went to the cross. That was fully conquered, but he beat the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. He beat the devil then. This is just in the middle, and this is what Luke is trying to tell us. Luke is telling us, he's proving to the people that are reading this book, Jesus is who he says he was. So who are we? You see, the Jews of Jesus' day maintained their identity through knowing their genealogy. It was important to them. To me, as long as I knew who my parents were, I don't really care. I mean, that's me personally, by the way. I don't think everybody should be like that. But I can tell you, I am two generations from being forgotten. I am two generations. We all are. The majority of us are two generations from being forgotten. But that wasn't the case. See, they remembered who their fathers were all the way back to the 12 tribes. See, at first the names of their ancestors were passed down with oral tradition until they started to write them down. And then later they were written down for prosperity as in the many genealogies of the Old Testament. You see, there's a bunch of lists of names in the Old Testament, and every word of Scripture is put there for a reason. That's why it would be silly of me, because I was going to skip over this list of names. Because it's important. And then you would say, well, why didn't you preach on it? If you were smart enough, because you'd have said, this list isn't the same as Matthew's list, and you didn't give an explanation why it could be that these two lists were different. The Jewish historian, this is how good their records were. The Jewish historian, Josephus, tells us that he was able to trace his genealogy by consulting public records. Now, he lived just after around the time of Jesus, and he could trace back, and this was before 70 AD. And similarly, Rabbi Hillel, who lived during the time of Christ, used official registers to document his this relationship, his descent, his to King David. He belonged to the family of King David. You see, here's the thing is, lots of people could trace their roots back to King David. Lots of people could trace their roots. Because here's the thing about if you can trace your roots. These people had lots of kids. Them kids had lots of kids. Them kids had lots of kids. It doesn't take many generations before you've got like 100 or more people having kids that are related to David. You know, they were having 10, 12 kids. They didn't have a few. They had loads. And then them 12 kids multiplied. I mean, that's two generations. We're over 100 people. And then them multiplied. See, so there's lots of people that could trace their heritage back to David. On a side note, it's funny that all the Pharisees had to do to prove that Jesus wasn't the Messiah is to prove, which there was records, that he wasn't in the line of David. They never did that because he was. See, people wanted to know, Luke wanted people to know who Jesus was. To that end, he recorded the Savior's genealogy in this ancient style. It's funny because, and I'm not going to read Matthew, you can read Matthew, but Matthew puts women in there. And Matthew, being a Jew, right, it's funny that Matthew, being that person writing to Jews, because that's who Matthew was writing to, you see, he was a tax collector who knew the Jewish tradition. Yet when it comes to it, he starts the book with the genealogy of Christ, okay, and he throws in women's names, which would have been a no-no. And I think that it's funny because the people he put in are very questionable. It's like, if you pick these women, I'm going to pick these women, and they are probably, like, it's like, even the list of men's names, it's like, these are sinners. And I think Matthew was probably laughing while he was writing it down. Because he was like, you know, I'm going to prove to you that Jesus is full of grace and full of mercy. And so I'm going to include in his family tree, by the way, his family tree, these questionable people. But whose family tree was that? That was Joseph's. So culturally, Jesus was adopted by Joseph, so he belonged to Joseph. He had right, as the firstborn child, to be Joseph's son and heir, because that was cultural. If you didn't have a son, you would adopt a son, and they could have everything that you had. See, the basic pattern of human existence, it all starts with children, childbirth, with a man fathering children and a woman bearing them from her womb. So each new child has a name, his own identity. But we are born into a common humanity, which Luke traces all the way back to the first man, Adam. We are all in this together. See, most of the names in Luke's genealogy are, by the way, you won't find anywhere else in the Bible. Most of the names that I'm going to read in a minute are not found anywhere else, and I'm going to butcher them badly. So I'm just going to give you a warning up front that I'm probably going to butcher these names badly. But these men were people like us, with the same kinds of ambitions that we have, the same joys and sorrows that we have. They suffered the things that we suffered, and they celebrated the things that we celebrate. And they sinned like we sin. So, Jesus, when he begins his ministry, was about 30 years of age. That is actually a pretty significant point, by the way. Because that's when they had the roles where they could actually, at 30, was when they could be gathered into doing these kinds of works. Like King David became king at 30. Moses was 30 when he was doing his ministry. You see, this is when God, in the Old Testament, would tell people at 30 years age, they would be into the ministry. So it's important, this is important, it just happens that Jesus was around 30 when he started his ministry. And then it says this, being the son as supposed, and that's important by the way, that phrase in there, as supposed, of Joseph, the son of Hala, the son of Mahat, the son of Levi, the son of Malche, the son of Janae, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Elsa, the son of Naga, the son of Math, the son of Mathas, the son of Samin, the son of Joseph, the son of Jodah, the son of Jonah, the son of Reshe, the son of Zubral, the son of Shiral, the son of Nera, the son of Malchi, the son of Ada, the son of Kazam, the son of Almadam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Alza, the son of Joram, the son of Mahat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonah, the son of Elkam, the son of Mela, the son of Mina, the son of Matta, the son of Nathan, the son of David. Now, I'm going to stop there because up till now, we just followed the line. If you read Matthew, Matthew starts from Solomon and all the other names are different. Just so you know. So this line traces back to Nathan, but the other line traces back to Solomon. Right? He's the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Anna, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. That is where Matthew starts. See, Matthew's writing to Jewish people. So he starts with Abraham. Okay? But Luke is writing to Greeks, Gentiles, and to Jewish people. So he's going to go, we're going to continue in a minute. He's going to continue all the way back, you see. And even, this is so important because to the culture, the Greeks love genealogy too and track their genealogy. So this is important because he's writing to people that knew their genealogy. So it goes on to say, the son of Terah, the son of Neha, the son of Shereg, the son of Re, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Aparax, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Malai, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So whose genealogy is this? The promise that God made to Adam's family were all filled in Jesus Christ. See, this is why genealogy is important, by the way. And a good illustration of this is a missionary that worked on the Wycliffe Bible translation. When a Bible translator, he was in Papua New Guinea, started to translate Matthew's gospel. He thought, the last thing I want to do is bog people down with genealogy. So he began with the chapter. But the day came, when he came to Matthew, the day came when all the other chapters were done. He like skipped over because he goes, I don't know what to do with Matthew 1 because I don't want to tell all these people names because it's going to be difficult. So that's... This is the last part of the chapter, the Matthew that he translates. And this is why it's funny. He called together the men who were helping him, and they decided the best way to say baguette. Then they proceeded with Matthew chapter 1. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat. By the time they completed about 6 of these begats, the translator could sense the men were becoming excited. This is the men of Papua New Guinea. And he says, this is one of the people say to him, do you mean that these were real men? They asked. And the translator said, yes, he answered. They were real men. That's what we do, they added, referring to their custom of keeping track of genealogy. We had thought that these were just white men's stories. Do you really mean that Abraham was a real man? Yes, the translator said. That's what I've been telling you. We didn't know that, they said, but now we believe. The last part they want to translate because they think it's going to be hard to translate, and we don't want to bog people down with a list of names. Saves a tribe of Papua New Guinea people. Because genealogy is important. So nothing in the Bible is by accident. It was put there by God. See, that night they gathered the village together and said, listen to this. Then they read the chapter of Matthew. This chapter was the key for the belief in the tribe. See, genealogy is important because genealogy points us to who Jesus was. This was Mary's son. So how do we reconcile Matthew and Luke? This is not Joseph's genealogy. If we go back to the first verse when it said, being the son was supposed of Joseph, right? There's one word missing there, the. By the way, all the rest say the son of. And by the way, just so you know, when it says the son of, there was no the son of, by the way. It was a list of names, and we've English translation put this the son of. It could be, just so we know, that the Bible could mean the grandson or grandfather of. So they could skip a generation if it wasn't important, if that person, sometimes they skip the name. And that's why even the genealogy, even the, sometimes when the text, sometimes, and this has been recorded, that they would skip names. So this could be the grandfather, was the grandfather, okay? But to start with, this is Mary's genealogy, not Joseph's genealogy. And do you know why Luke puts Mary's genealogy and not Joseph's genealogy? Because what's he trying to prove? That he's fully man. Joseph's adopted father. Jesus had to be connected with man itself. And Luke writes in the genealogy in the way it would be written in that day. It would be written as male, okay? The female wouldn't be put there. That's why it doesn't say Mary's dad, Heli. But it says, how would he reconcile this? Luke is writing for the first time, okay, about a person that was immaculately conception, virgin birth. He has no earthly father. So the next earthly person from Mary, that's a male, is Mary's dad. And there is actually, if you looked in Jewish literature, saying that Hela was Mary's father. Not in the Bible, but in Jewish literature, you can find it. Okay? So this is her genealogy. This is to point us to say God is who he said he is. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is fully man and fully God. He goes all the way back to David. And by the way, just so you know, I forgot which one it was now, but one of the heirs in that list of Joseph's names in Matthew, at one point, and I can't remember the text now, and I didn't write it down because I had a really bad headache, but says that he could, none of his ancestors, none of his children, none of his grandchildren, none of his ancestors will ever sit on the throne. Yet, the promise wasn't ever said to Mary's line. And so scripture is still true. And because the Old Testament says Joseph's line, nobody will ever sit on the throne of God from Joseph's line. If you go back to a certain point. But marriage, there was never that said. And Jesus is sitting on the throne right now. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He was Mary's son. Biologically, he had half of Mary's DNA inside of him. See, that's what makes it amazing. See, it goes back to Genesis. Genesis 3:15. See, he said this. God did... You see, you've got to read all of Scripture. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and whose offspring? Not man's offspring, woman's offspring. See, anybody who says Christians are down on women haven't read the Bible. I mean, chapter 3, we're lifting up, we're saying our Savior is going to be out of the line of a woman. See, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And it's important to know that. It's important to understand that. And it's important that Luke is in between showing you the deity of Christ and the temptation of the devil to Jesus. Okay? He's slamming this in there, this list of names that most of us, if we're honest, when we come to a list of names in Bible, what do we do? Skip it. Most of us, if we're honest, Jackie's not honest. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah. So a list of names, most of us will go, oh, I'm not reading that list of names. That's like some of the list of names in the Old Testament are like 2 pages long. And none of them we can pronounce correctly. But they're there, like I said, for a reason. So this is why he put them there. This is why I couldn't skip over this text when I was going to skip over it last week and decided at the last moment, I can't skip over this because you need to know that Luke wants us to know. Luke wants us to know this. He is the Savior of all of us. See, this brings us back to Luke's purpose in providing a genealogy, which was to prove the humanity of Christ. Hebrews says this. Therefore, he had to be made like us, like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for sins of his people. You see, Jesus couldn't just show up. God just couldn't show up and we could be forgiven. There had to be a punishment, and the punishment had to be ours. This is why Jesus had to be fully human and fully God, because he had to be fully human to take the punishment, to take the punishment that was due us, but he had to be fully God so he could take the punishment, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing, but not the same thing. No human being could have took the punishment, even if they could have lived a sinless life that he took. The weight of all the sin of everybody else could not be put on one person, one human being. So Jesus had to be fully God so he could receive all of the sin of the world. See, he didn't just, I say this quite often, he did not just receive the sin of that day. He received all the sin of the past sins up until that day. The present sins of that day that were being committed the day he was being brutalized. And all the future sins I don't know how long it is before Jesus comes back, but them sins that we've not lived in 2026 yet or 2027, but the sins that are going to be committed by people who believe in him have been paid for on the cross. They haven't been committed yet. The sins that you and I are going to commit tomorrow have been paid for. But the only way it can be paid for is if he was fully human. Because a human had to pay the penalty. But he had to be fully God to be able to take the punishment and the weight of all that sin. We have a Savior that loves us so much that he would do that. See, he couldn't just show up on Friday and die and raise on Sunday and we be saved. He had to live a life that was perfect because they needed a perfect sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I don't make 5 minutes being perfect. I mean, he lived 33 years of his life perfect so he could pay the penalty for you and me. And Luke wants you to know that. He wants you to know who Jesus was. That's why he spends 3 chapters on really explaining who Jesus was. And he uses witnesses like Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, the angels, the shepherds. He uses all of them people to show you this is who Jesus is. Now I'm going to give you the last evidence that you need, because here's the deal. Lots of people could be in the line of David, but the Savior had to be in the line of David. So I'm going to show you the biological truth that Jesus lines up with all the other things. I've already showed you this is answer to prophecy. 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 This is answer. God spoke and said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." Now, this is the genealogy to show you that Jesus is who Jesus says he is. Luke was writing to people like me and you. He was writing to people that are out there that don't go to church, that are searching because they know there's something more, but nobody's told them yet. Because there's still people like that in the world. As bad as this world is, there's still people in there that are searching for something. They just don't know what that something is. That's why Jesus hasn't come back yet. Because everybody who was supposed to, who has been saved, we talked about who's elect at the beginning of this service. All the elect have not been picked yet. They've been picked, but they've either not been born yet, or they've not accepted that election yet. That's why Jesus hasn't come back. Because once the last person that is supposed to be elect, that is elect according to the Bible, chosen by God, accepts him as their Savior, Jesus is coming back. And I don't know how many more or when. But I know that we should live our life ministering to people out there, loving people out there that don't go to church, that don't know who Jesus is. And we should be sharing the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's such good news, why are we not shouting it from the rooftop? Why are we keeping it for ourselves? Next week, we're going to be talking about the temptations of Jesus. How God led him into the wilderness, knowing what was going to happen. That after Jesus had been fasting, see, Jesus had fasted. Jesus was at his weakest points, we'll find out, when he was tempted. And he refused. We can learn a lot from how Jesus responds to the temptations of this world. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that there is lists of names in the Bible. And every word in Scripture has a purpose. And that this list proves to us that Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one, fully God, fully man. Thank you that you gave us the book of Luke and that it is so rich and full of answers. I just pray, God, that as we go, that we can find somebody that we can share this message with, that Jesus was who he said he was. And that you can give us opportunities in our daily walk to do this. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.